peace and love, peace and love.
Welcome to this neighborhood, neighbor.
My mom always said, life was like a box of chocolates. You never know what you're gonna get.
You know what I am? I'm a housewife that figured it out. Wow, 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 woo!
And now, here's the host of Good Things Radio, Brooke Taylor.
Welcome, welcome, welcome to Good Things Radio. My name is Brooke Taylor. This is episode number 91, as well as a brand new month. So welcome to April. It's the month of the Holy Eucharist. It's also the month of the Arise Retreat, as well as Easter, of course. That's the big thing this month. And we are ready, just about, to welcome 60 women from all over the country coming together for a weekend of renewal. And thanks to this little program, really, to this podcast, Good Things Radio. It's also, by the way, Autism Awareness Month, which we'll get into later on in the next podcast, episode number 92, but something obviously that's very close to my heart. If you know our story, the journey of our daughter, Carolina, and so many, one in 68 diagnosed today with autism in the United States. So we lift up prayers for that, as well as every aspect of the month of April, and a lot to cover in this little episode, not only just coming up today, but in the month ahead as well. And I just, first of all, want to thank you for making it very easy for me to crank out more shows, because I am slowly not keeping my promise of only doing one a month. But I'm actually really glad to be able to break that and bring you more, because you have offered so much feedback, so much awesome input, particularly about the last episode and discerning the question, the clash asked so long ago, should I stay or should I go? And that quandary. And you've sent messages, we've had emails, direct messages on Facebook. When do you know when it's time to go, to move and relocate, and when to stay? So what are the qualifications for you that have to be met before you're willing to put down roots in a new place? So we're going to get to your stories. We'll talk about that. Also, what's confession and why is it important? Father Nathan is back with a Padre in your pocket, preparing for Holy Week and the unnamed days. The unnamed days. We have Holy Thursday and Good Friday. There's Holy Saturday and Resurrection Easter Sunday. But after Palm Sunday, that Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, what are those days called? There's a really beautiful explanation and reflection from the Franciscan Sisters of the Eucharist that all of us can appreciate and really ponder. So we'll share that as well. Also, two fantastic books I've been reading. We'll unpack those. Being a mom of a driving teenager, and that's a Brooks House coming up. So a lot to get to this time around. I've heard Father Nathan talk about this, point out that we are really good at making the surface, the outside of things look good, especially in the United States. We know how to build impressive cities, beautiful cars, clothes, homes, and just to make things look picture perfect on the outside. But what about the inside? So many people are walking around with broken hearts and sick spirits, searching for a sense of peace, trying to figure out the secret recipe that's going to bring fulfillment and joy. Even as Christians, obviously, especially if you're apart from the church, that great search. And as we kick off the show, I think it goes back to prayer, to emptying ourselves of us, going to the Father who knows exactly what we need, and allowing His tenderness to take over, to have His hand touch our chin and lift us up so that our gaze is eye to eye with Him, to allow His words to speak to us and our needs, to put on His mind so we are able to let go of the temporal and the trivial. And sometimes it's really hard to do that. So we need that grace. So we're going to pray as we go through the show. Typically, I open the show that way, but today we're going to weave prayer throughout. So join us as we kick off the show today.
Well, the mail must go through. The mail must go through. No matter if it rains or snows, the mail must go through. I said,
my, oh my, did you guys offer overwhelming input about the question of when to know, when is it time to go, to move, to relocate, all the questions and complexities that go into that question. And I don't think, maybe in this country, I don't know the factors, that that question really goes away until probably we are in our ultimate home, because I've seen that even in retirees and contemplating
contemplating, should we move south or what about family? And when you have grown kids, that whole question and the different layers that come with that. So for you, is there anything that would pull you away from the place you currently live? It is when you, at least from a historical perspective, take a look at it, as old as time, from refugees, the Jews forced to flee, settle elsewhere because they had no choice, to the immigrants, the story of out west. I was watching the Ken Burns documentary as we prepare for a trip out west and learning about the Exodusters, they were called. Isn't that a cool name? So it was people who, in a great exodus, went out by the thousands traveling out west in the 1800s because of the promise of prosperity and a better quality of life. And the more I reflect on that question, the more I'm amazed at how courageous and tough people are. I was thinking about the missionaries and this deep wrestling match with, should we go and is it going to scar my kids forever if we do? But yet my husband's yearning to go home to the South where he has family and that's his heritage. And when do we know when to go and how to go and what to make it happen and how to make it happen? And then I was thinking about, there is a book called, I think it's called Fearless, and we actually have it. It's in my bookcase, about a sister who was in the jungles of New Guinea. And really, even when I had traveled to Guatemala, I met a priest who's in what they call the red zone. It's where the dangerous gangs of the city are concentrated downtown. And for the last 30 years, he's been in Guatemala and he's from Ireland, this Irish priest. And I remember talking to him and thinking, you are so far from home. And he's not connected necessarily to a group of other priests or brothers in an order. He is basically by himself there, sent out with him and God alone in this journey. And that over and over, duplicated times at infinitum, has been the story of missionaries, whether it's St. Francis Xavier going to Asia or St. Martin de Porres, who ministered in the bottom of the hulls of the slave ships. And this is far Mother Teresa. She was from Albania, and to go from the streets of India. And so often these people are alone. They might have another sister or brother with them, but it's also sometimes just themselves. And that reminder of wherever God takes us, he will take us through it. He will take us there. And to not be afraid, be not afraid. So that was kind of one reflection as I was thinking about. But your stories are interesting. So I wanted to thank you again, first of all, for that, because taking the time to offer a snapshot into your own journey. I heard from people across the country after my last episode, so much so, it actually caused me to go and look at my stats, which I should do every time, but I haven't done probably literally in like a year. And I was stunned to see the listeners, downloads in all 50 states, in the Middle East, across the world. So I think for me, and this is kind of a side note rabbit trail, being a product of terrestrial local radio, big market, medium, large market, I'm so used to the radius of what's in the community around me that sometimes I just still think it's astonishing how far a program like this can reach. And that was the case. I heard from people from Greenville, South Carolina, to Alabama, to New York, to California, and how in every one of those areas, this question has been presented and considered to so many of you. So I want to first just thank you for that feedback, listening, even being here as part of the show, but also share a couple of your stories. You were kind enough to allow me, Abby, who left a fantastic Voxer about relocating and her own story. Take a listen. This is Abby's story, and I think a lot to ponder. Check it out.
Hi, Brooke. It's Abby, and I am a faithful follower of Good Things Radio, and I wanted to leave you some feedback. I've been listening to your podcast since the beginning, and every time I listen, I'm like, ooh, I should leave some feedback because there's always something I want to talk about, and I never have before because I have three little kids and I get distracted easily. But anyway, I really wanted to just encourage you, and especially after today's episode that I listened to about just not knowing where you're going to move or not. Little background on me. I am originally from Northeast Ohio, and I moved 6 years ago to Dallas, Texas. And it was really hard because all my family's here. I've always been a Midwest girl. But we really felt like that's where God had us. My husband got a really great job opportunity. I was a stay-at-home mom, so we had to kind of go for that. And for 6 years, I lived there and prayed to move back. And in December, I moved back. And so now I'm back here in North Canton, and I am so happy to be back. But so I feel like you're in the opposite position. Like you're here and you want to move away. So I know it's hard because it seems like the grass is always greener, and it seems like there's always adventure and things like that. And it's hard because you want to move close to your husband's family, and I totally get that. But as somebody who moved away, I'll tell you, I just couldn't wait to move back. And it's just, there's just something about, you know, living where you kind of, where you grew up and having those four seasons. Oh my gosh. It's, I know that in the winter, it's awful when you don't see the sun here, but man, when I lived in Dallas and I had 3 months of 100 degrees, I thought I was going to die. And, you know, I just want to, you know, encourage you that there are always pros and cons to every decision you're going to make. There are great things about living here. There are not so great things about living here. There are, you know, adventure and sunshine can be waiting for you down south, but then you have to deal with the heat and the humidity and the mosquitoes or, you know, whatever else that you may run into. In Dallas, I had to deal with traffic. I had to deal with paying to drive on the road and, you know, crazy things like that. But, you know, I felt so much angst about it for so long. And it was one of those things that when God was ready for me to know the answer, I knew it. And I had peace. My husband had peace. And you're going to get that. You're going to get that for your family. And you're going to get that to know whether or not to move. And it's going to be in his perfect timing. And I hope that it's a non-stressful thing for you, because I know sometimes thinking about our futures and the kids and moving kids. I have a 3-year-old, a 5-year-old, and a 7-year-old, and I homeschool them, so it's kind of easy for me to just move because I didn't have to, you know, take them out of school or put them in a new school district. And so, you know, that's always hard to think about your kids. So, anyway, I'm praying for you. I know how hard this must be, and how life-changing. I remember, like, I'm driving around thinking, like, whose life is this? Like, I live in Texas, and this is so strange, and, you know, but, you know, if we would have stayed there forever and not moved back, it would have been fine. I had to make a lot of really good friends because I didn't have family there, and then I moved back, and now I have great family here, and so it's just, there are pros and cons, like I said, to everything, and I feel for you, girl, and anyway, I just love your show. I think you are so encouraging. I love hearing your perspective on faith. I'm actually a Protestant. Hope we can still be friends. But I love hearing about your Catholic faith, and I think there's so many great things that I can learn from that, and your traditions and your reverence and so many things like that. So anyway, thanks so much for your show. I know that it's a labor of love. I know that it's taking time away from your family, and you are a busy woman, but keep up the good work, and I really appreciate it. God bless you. I'll be praying for you. Can't wait to hear what the future has in store for your family. All right. Thanks a lot. Bye, bro.
Oh, Abby. Wow. Thank you. Thank you. I'm just completely, the grass is greener on the other side. And I think that is such an important reminder. It's funny because we just watched that movie Passengers, and there was actually a line in the film where he's saying something to the effect of, don't be so focused on where you're going that you don't appreciate where you are today. And that old adage of bloom where you're planted. And I love that you shared the power of being content where you are, also the blessing of family and coming back home and what that means and what that looks like, and the shared sisterhood of our faith. And the reminder, there are so many different faith traditions that listen to this program. So yes, of course, we can still be friends, and just how we share and help, and I hope enrich one another. So thank you so much. Abby also received a message from Molly. Check it out.
Hi, Brooke. It's Molly from Pittsburgh, one of your podcast listeners. It's been a while since I got on, left you a message. But again, I have to work for the retreat, so that's why I'm not going and why I still can't meet y'all. But I will be praying for you, everybody. And looks like hopefully 2018, maybe I won't be having a new baby or traveling for work, and hopefully things will line up. I can finally come next year. I did save the date when you asked us to save it. The reason I went to leave a Voxer today is I really could relate to your podcast this week talking about moving and deciding to move or whether or not to move and whether or not we should just be content, because that's something I struggle with a lot. I used to live in the South and I loved it. My husband used to live in California and he hated the heat. So I think in Pittsburgh we shall remain for a while at least. But it's just hard not to get anxious and curious about what else is out there, moving wise or even, career wise. Should I be content with my job? Should I be looking for something else? I don't know. Maybe that could be a possible retreat topic for next year. Okay. Well, God bless. Take care.
Thank you, Molly. Well, first off, I hope 2018 totally works for you to come to the retreat. And, the reason that we announced it so early is because for that reason exactly. So you can put it on your calendar. In fact, we're going to do, God willing, a special discount, Early Bird Good Things Radio special coupon code within the next few months. So I want to put that out there so you know you can save up, get a great discount if you're able to get in and get the tickets. And again, the Arise Retreat is on the books for next April around the 6th. And I can just liken it to spiritual scuba diving. We are going into the dark, deep, mysterious waters that you normally cannot get to on your own. But with Father Nathan, he's kind of our oxygen tank. He's going to provide what we really need to descend into the deep. So we really are like Ariel from The Little Mermaid in a spiritual way. And, down there, even shipwrecks are beautiful. It is so phenomenal. And like a new horizon. I know it sounds kind of weird, but I liken it to that because that's how I felt. That's how I have felt in different retreats. And honestly, it doesn't matter your Christian affiliation or where you live or your spiritual stripe. When God calls us by name, you just hope you're hearing it and you are open. And so that's my prayer, that if you're feeling called, that you are able and to consider coming. So again, that will be next year. And speaking of dates, also wanted to let you know, just a quick calendar check, a couple of things coming up. I think I shared with you about my super exciting trip to Alabama coming up. So I'll be departing on Easter Sunday and flying to Alabama, the Jim and Joy Show, the Global Network EWTN for about a half an hour segment, just asking for your prayers on that. There's also a phone number you can call in live and ask questions and interact on the show. And I'm nervous because I'm afraid no one's going to call. And then I'm nervous, what if people call and it's like my brother and it's a prank or something? So I'm going to put that in the show notes if you would consider calling, or as it gets closer, check out social media if you would, just for the updates, because I'm not sure exactly when it's going to air or in relation to when they tape it and you can call in. So I'll post that information. Of course, then our retreat is coming up as well on the 20th. And then the following week on Saturday, April 29th, if you are in Ohio, there is not just one, but two invitations for you. I'm going to be speaking at Victory Life Church in Hudson, Ohio. It's a women's event. It is jam-packed with fantastic speakers. It begins at 9 a.m. I'll be hitting the stage in the morning and then in the afternoon traveling to North Olmsted, Ohio. So if you're in that neck of the woods in the Cleveland area, I'll be speaking in the afternoon at North Olmsted Assembly. It's an awesome ladies event. The theme is It's a Jungle Out There, and it will also be an all-day Saturday shindig. I'm hitting two events in one day, so the Victory Life in the morning, the North Olmsted Assembly in the afternoon, and lunch will be provided. Fantastic fellowship worship music. So if you're able, I would love for you to come, even a road trip. I mean, it's going to be a girl's day. It's an opportunity. So you can get more information on my website. It's brooktaylor.us. I'll also include it in the show notes as well. And feel free to message me with any questions. And if you have a church that's looking for a speaker, I hope you'll remember me, and you can find out more information at brooktaylor.us. Okay, so it's been a little while since we played the I Know intro with some. That's like my intro to tell you that I've learned something new. So it's a little musical ditty where this is dealing with Holy Week. And it actually comes from Father Mike Schmitz via the Franciscan Sisters of the Eucharist in Duluth, Minnesota. Their website is fsecommunity.org. But I so love this. I had not heard it before that I was chomping at the bit to share it with you. And I think it has the potential to even change the way, for the first time in your life, the way that you approach Holy Week. And of course, that's the sacred time leading up to Easter Sunday, the Triduum. But it's taking you into the spirituality of these nuns, these holy nuns, and the way they reflect on the Passion and the days beforehand. And boy, it's a world rocker, I think. So they have a technique of naming the unnamed days with themes before Holy Week. So I want to begin and just take you through the days, how they name it, and allow that just to be a vehicle of meditation for you to just reflect on. They put a special focus beginning on the Saturday before Palm Sunday, and we're going to walk through it. So that Saturday before Palm Sunday is called Commitment Saturday. God was committed in pursuing me in his march to Jerusalem. So shall we be committed. How committed are we really? We contemplate Commitment Saturday. What does commitment mean? How committed was he to us? And how committed are we to him? And then Sunday, of course, that's Procession Sunday. Will I walk with him into Jerusalem? As you close your eyes and you think of his triumphal entry, and you think of the donkey and the palms and the crying and weeping because here is the Messiah, that you are with him. You process with the victory and in the joy and anticipation. Monday is Extravagance Monday. The woman poured out the oil in abundance. You know that scripture reading. Remember, this was in the Gospel of John, and it talks about the pint of pure nard. It was this expensive perfume, and she pours it on Jesus' feet. She wipes his feet with her hair, and the entire house was filled with the fragrance of the perfume. And so you think about the extravagance of God and that reciprocal love, that relationship. He is so extravagant with us in all the graces and blessings. How are we with him? Do we give him an extravagant love in abundance? Tuesday, the next day, it's compulsion to completion. That's the theme leading up in these unnamed days, that Jesus has a fire in him and he is impelled to do the Father's will. That's what Father Mike Schmitz tells us. He has a compulsion to complete what has been asked of him, and reflecting on what that means for us. Wednesday, what a day, a heavy day, a powerful day. The theme for Wednesday is aloneness. It's the day of aloneness. Not just aloneness of Jesus, which I find interesting, but also Judas. Knowing what Judas Iscariot was about to do and the isolation that sin brings to us. Thursday, the body is given. We think about that Holy Thursday. Above all, the Eucharist is given to us on Holy Thursday, the Passover meal, the first Last Supper, and of course, the sacrificial Friday. They theme it as Impotence Friday. The all-powerful God has made himself powerless. In my book that I've been writing for the last year, that's one of the parts I really zero in on, is talking about this God of the cross in the paradox of what we see, that never was Christ more paralyzed, more disabled than when he was crucified. Yet there he was never more potent and more powerful, being fooled by what we see and the power of impotence in that moment. Saturday night is the theme, darkness of the tomb, coldness of death. And then, of course, Sunday is miracles. That is the theme, Easter, Resurrection Sunday, that all he did points to this one thing, our King of Kings, the conqueror of death, and that glorious day.
Wow, 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 wow!
I'm sorry, I think that deserves an Oprah. I mean, mind-blowing awesomeness right there. So that's something on my end that we're going to be implementing in our home, writing it on the chalkboard, putting it on our little landing time altar area so that we can think about that every day. Even if it's a minute, pull up the scriptures, sit in prayers. And again, a big, amazing credit going back to the Franciscan Sisters of the Eucharist and Father Mike Schmitz for bringing this forth and sharing this. So those are just some things as we begin to think about about going into Holy Week that we can do. And I also wanted to recommend two books that I'm reading right now. One is by Father Hubert Van Zeller. It's so good. It's called Suffering, the Cross of Christ, and Its Meaning for You. So it goes through the Stations of the Cross, and that I highly recommend, as well as Thomas Merton, New Seeds of Contemplation. And Thomas Merton himself, a bit of a controversial character, depending on where you go or the circles you might run in. I heard a really great reflection on Thomas Merton from Archbishop Robert Barron, and he just, in summing it up, talks about the influence that Thomas Merton had on his own spirituality and really beginning to influence him to think about a call to the priesthood. And so, by your fruits you shall know them. And of course, his story, his testimony, the Seven Story Mountain, really chronicles. It's one of the greatest faith stories of our time. Towards the end of his life, he started to dabble in a little bit of Eastern religion, and that's what's a little bit more controversial. And even that is questionable, because some people just say, well, he was just learning and trying to be understanding and tolerant. This book, though, New Seeds of Contemplation, across the board, has been widely lauded and praised and accepted, and has kind of the seal of approval through the church. And I just want to read, it's all about contemplation, New Seeds of Contemplation, and the idea that we are active when we are passive, and what it means to really be still and what it does not mean. I love this opening paragraph. He says, every moment in every event of every man's life on earth plants something in his soul. For just as the wind carries thousands of winged seeds, so each moment brings with it germs of spiritual vitality that come to rest imperceptibly in the minds and wills of men. Most of these unnumbered seeds perish and are lost because men are not prepared to receive them. For such seeds as these cannot spring up anywhere except in the soil of freedom, spontaneity, and love. I think any time of year, at all, wherever you are, this is a good book, but especially now in the spring, where it talks about the seeds of contemplation and growth and blooming in the soil of heaven, that this is a fantastic book.
Hi, Brooke. I just listened to Good Things Radio, episode number 90. Oh, it was so wonderful. Just such a wonderful joy to hear about your journey and to hear everybody's contribution who was at the gathering to prepare for the retreat. I'm so grateful for each one of those women, and of course, most especially to you. I'm so looking forward to that weekend. I wanted you to know that last night I gave my first confession, and I have to tell you, God led me to just the perfect priest. It was the most amazing experience that I could have imagined. I couldn't even have imagined. I was so scared. I was like 61 years of, you know, stuff to confess, right? And, you know, I didn't belabor, but I just hit on the big stuff, and it was just so healing to unload and to receive that forgiveness of the Lord. And the penance was so creative. This priest was so creative with his penance. I want to tell you what it was, but I don't know if I'm supposed to tell. I don't know. But anyway, it was really creative penance. And I was expecting, you know, you're going to have to say 20,000 Hail Marys and 50,000 Our Fathers or something along that line. So it was just such a fitting penance. All right, I'm going to tell you what it was. It was, he wants me to spend time with the conversation between Jesus, the interrogation between Pontius Pilate and Christ. And, you know, to just spend time with that over the next few days or weeks. And yeah, so kind of like a little Lectio Divina. And so I was just really grateful for that.
Well, thank you. Wow, Catherine. Wow, wow. And the funny thing is, I was actually talking to a girlfriend of mine this week, evangelical Christian sister, and she was just asking me about this exact thing and asking, do Catholics even go to confession? She said, is that a real thing? Because her only understanding was seeing it in the movies and not knowing if that was something that Catholics really did or if it was just something that was a little bit antiquated. So I think that's incredible that that's the exact experience that you're talking about. And because of that, wanted to get Father Nathan's take on that with a Padre in your pocket. So check it out. Here's Father Nathan.
Padre.
Father Nathan here with another Padre in your pocket. I am so pleased with a request that came through. Could I help our non-Catholic friends, brothers and sisters in Christ, understand why we go to confession? And I want to start by letting you know that in my own family, half of my family is non-Catholic. My father actually, to this day, remains non-Catholic. And so I've always had a very beautiful spot in my heart for all of those who are not Catholic in our Christian body, and a great desire for ecumenism. So I'm very honored with this request. Let me explain it to you this way. The Catholic Church wants to be biblical. We actually try to live the biblical message of Christ. And that means that when we do something like confession, we're actually basing it on what we believe to be the teaching of Christ in the Bible. Where in the Bible do we have a basis for confession? Well, you got it, first of all, in Matthew 16, where Jesus gives to Simon Peter the keys to the kingdom of heaven. And he says, whatever you hold bound will be held bound, and whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven. And the idea is those keys, the binding and loosing of things on earth and in heaven, refers to an authority over the spiritual life, and therefore the ability to forgive sins, to bind or to loose. So I know that there's other interpretations for that, and other denominations will have those interpretations, but that's the Catholic Church's interpretation, to say he was referring there to the authority to forgive sins. And how do we know that? Well, because in John chapter 20, Jesus does the same thing, says a similar things to all of the disciples. He rises from the dead, and then he goes on to say that that he gives them authority to forgive sins. And whoever sins you forgive will be forgiven them, and whatever sins you hold bound will be held bound. So there you have two different spots where Jesus is giving the apostles this ability. Well, if he's giving it to them, obviously it's so that they use it. So the Catholics understand that to be, well, this is something that is biblical, and at the same time has been done throughout the centuries. A long time before the Protestant Reformation came, in that different understanding about the priests and the sacraments, Catholics were going to confession. I mean, we have traces of confession that go back a very, very long ways, all the way back to the beginnings of the church. Whereas the Reformation took place in the year 1500, the Catholic Church traces her beginnings back to the year zero. So you have a tradition that goes back of us living that out. Remember what it says in the letter of St. James, confess your sins to one another. Well, the idea is confessing your sins to one another is fulfilled in that precept and in that way. The way we've lived out confession, though, over the years has changed. And in the beginnings of the church, it was really reserved only for the biggest sins, like adultery and murder and apostasy. And it would be prefaced by 40 days of penance. The whole idea of Lent, actually, during the part of the church's history, would be associated with that receiving of confession. Usually you only receive it one time in your life, and you would be publicly reaccepted back into the fold after you'd been publicly kind of separated from the fold. So the idea of a personal confession behind a screen with a priest, that was developed by the Irish monks. This would be the years 800, 900, 1000, 1011, 1100. Those type of that practice was then spread throughout Christianity, but that's all the level of the how. So what I want to help you to understand is that what we are living as Catholics with confession is actually the same thing that you try to live in your own way when you repent to God. It's just that as Catholics, we feel that we're especially blessed to be able to have that power given to a man, a priest, to exercise towards us in a way, therefore, that's so close to us. We hear the priest saying, I absolve you from your sins. And to be able to hear that after you've actually been able to kneel down and confess your sins out loud, well, even from a psychological point of view, it's a very healing experience. And the media today presents it as something really scary. But let me tell you, I am a priest. I hear confessions. And it's a beautiful experience. It's a gentle, wonderful truth that all of us have fallen short of the glory of God. And all of us can be redeemed by Jesus Christ. And so I would encourage you to not hesitate to talk to priests about it, or to talk to Brooke or your Catholic friends, and to understand that sacrament more. And of course, we're always ready at Padre in Your Pocket to take any questions that you might have and hopefully give you a good answer for them. I ask God's blessings upon you and your prayers for me as I go forward. And thank you for being great Christian witnesses.
Hi, everybody. This is Father Nathan here with a follow-up, Padre, in Your Pocket, to all of our good listeners who asked such good questions about the confession for non-Catholics that I mentioned to you in the last Padre in Your Pocket. You know, a lot of people just say to me, Father, how is it, though, that a priest has that authority? Isn't he just a man? How can he forgive sin? So it's not the priest that forgives the sin. It's Christ, obviously, who forgives the sin. It's God who forgives the sin. But he does it through the action of the priest. And just like he teaches a child how to read through you and teaches your children how to smile through you, so he uses the priest as his instrument to be his vehicle of mercy. Great questions, and I hope that helps. Please keep asking.
Wow, thank you. What a tender thought to consider that illustration. As a mother teaches her child to read or smile, it's God using that mother as an instrument of love. And the idea of the priest being an instrument of mercy, that's takes my breath away. Thank you, Father Nathan. Amen.
It's Brooks House. Ow. It's Brooks House.
Okay, and finally today we are headed to the minivan where, for the first time in my life, I am taking the passenger seat as one of my children takes the driver's seat. My oldest son, Gabriel, now officially has his learner's permit. He's been logging hours on the road, and he's actually joining me in studio today. Hi, Gabe.
Hey.
Welcome. So driving, I feel like Smokey and the Bandit, like you are Burt Reynolds, I'm Sally Field.
Well, I don't know who that is. Seems pretty
you
old.
Were gonna say that. I knew it. Okay, Rhett and Link, except I'm Link with the wig.
Mm-hmm.
Your buddies. But this is real life. This is not an act or a bit in a show. This is you actually driving. There's no take two on this and behind the wheel. So I just wanted to get your emotions. And are you nervous? How do you think it's going? So, number one, is it harder than what you anticipated to actually practically apply those skills on the road?
Yeah, because you guys always do it and like it looks so easy, but you've been doing it for like years, you know, and it's just hard for me. So,
yeah, because it all has to come together so quickly, right? What's the most difficult part? Just remembering everything and reacting?
Well, you know, I'm bad at like turning and stuff. And
you're not bad, but
well, it's just hard because like you have to like maneuvering the car is the hard part. You know,
has that been the most challenging?
Yeah.
Okay.
Other than that, like you can like memorize all the signs and stuff, and it's pretty easy, but. Like, you know, when you're, like, actually doing it, it's harder because you can read all the books, study it, but once you're actually on the road, there's all different kinds of situations.
Well, and we were talking about that, how it's really apropos for everything in life.
Yeah.
You can be studying how to be a pilot all you want, but it's actually getting out there and doing it, or gymnastics, or whatever the case might be. Is it interesting to think that in 5-10 years there'll be fully autonomous cars? Probably. Will you even be driving as much as you are right now?
Yeah, I don't know. That I've always wondered that. And then these kids won't have to like learn how to drive and stuff.
Well, it's the same thing like cursive. You learned cursive, right?
Yeah.
And now your younger brothers aren't even learning that in school. So it's just a weird time, I think. Do you think I'm doing okay as the backseat next to you driver, or am I letting my nerves show?
No, I think it's good.
Except when I do my Lamaze breathing, because sometimes I'm
that's really bad.
It was just funny how it comes back around. I actually need that now. I needed that when I was giving birth to you, and now I need it when you're driving.
Yeah.
Well, thank you. I love you, and I'm really proud of you.
Thanks.
You're doing a good job. Thanks, Gabe. And, oh, we didn't talk about your car because we're saving for a car. I don't know. Maybe we can solicit advice about the best first car to get, or the way we're doing it is you have a job, you're saving your money, and we're matching what you save to get you your first car. Yeah. What's your dream car? Do you have, like, a dream car?
I would like to get, like, a truck. I don't like trucks, but, like, that'd be good.
What?
Like, I just think it'd be good because...
It's practical, it's manly.
I mean, they cost a lot of money.
But they last forever. A good one that you take care of. And in the insurance, that's another story.
Yep.
Okay, thanks, Gabe.
Yeah.
Thank you to my guests on today's show. Thank you to Father Nathan and contributing cast members today. We had cameos from Abby and Molly and Catherine and Father Nathan. If you want to be a part of the show, too, please do not be shy. This is what makes Good Things Radio. We are a community, and you can reach out via Voxer. You can download the app. It's free if you don't have it already. Just find me at Brooke Taylor and the number one. Leave your feedback that way. And also email. It's feedback@goodthingsradio.com. If you want Good Things Radio to continue, please consider becoming a Good Things Radio GTR good friend. We thank all of our Podbean patron supporters of the show. You can donate any amount. There's no amount that's too small. There's no amount too large. We just got a new Podbean patron, so a ya-ya-ya for her. And that now means that Sandy and her family are included in our daily prayers. And that's the promise. If you want to be a patron, just log on to podbean.com/goodthingsradio and also in the show notes as well. If you like what you hear, and I hope you do, you can help us out by visiting iTunes. Kindly leave us a positive review if you would. Also, thank you to my producer, Mark Cumming from Cumming Home Studio, for his dynamic skills and quick work. Mark is a producer extraordinaire, and I invite you to check out the new promo reel that he made, kind of showcasing what I do to people who prospectively have no idea who I am and might want to bring me to their church or know a little bit about my resume in a visual way. Mark is the genius behind that. And if you go to brooketaylor.us, click on St. Gabriel Media, you can see that. If you want him to do something similar, he's amazing. You can find out more at cominghomestudio.com. Thank you for listening to episode number 91 of Good Things Radio. God bless you as you begin the climb to Holy Week, Easter, the empty tomb, and the joy of the resurrection. Thank you so much for being a part of the show. Until next time, God bless you.